Today's limud is L'Zecha Nishmas HaRab Daniel ben Rav Avraham Leibzal on the day of his yahrzeit and his wife, Ha'isha Shendu Shena Rezel Bas Aram Aisha. May the learning be as chus for their neshama, sponsored by their children, Dr. and Mrs. Zelenshore. It's Rabbi Shore's yahrzeit today.
His wife?
And for Rabbi Shore's wife, Zelig's mother. No, it's not. But once he's sponsoring for Zechut Nishmas, he can learn with Zechut Nishmas somebody that they have not their yard side too. It's not like he's doing anything wrong. Why are we spending time on this?
No, I thought he was going to have 2 days.
Okay.
Out of stock.
We are up to the two dots on Samach Amud Aleph. Yesterday, we had a machlokes. If a person marries, a kohen gadol marries a ba'ula, which is a chayvi asei, which is an iser asei, ki im b'sula me'amav yikach isha v'hu isha b'sula yikach, is the child a chol or not? That was the question. The Tanakhama said no, and Rabbi Chum said no, and Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov said yes. That's what we're up to explain that machlokes. Two dots, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seventh line from the top. Anusis chavera mefutus chavera lo yisa. Person should not marry a woman who had been a ba'ula from his friend, from somebody else, right? Because we talked about atzma yesterday. Kain gadol, right? Bimdasa, rablaisim, yakuwe, mravlat cholom, the chachamim, mravlat kasha. That was the bride that we had. We are bringing that piece of the brisa so we can explain it. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Halacha Kar Blasim Yaakov. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, we paskin that the child is a cholom. Nechein Amar Rav Gittel Amar Rav Halacha Kar Blasim Yaakov. Ikud the Ami Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. My time is Rav Blasim Yaakov. Ikud the Ami says Rav Huna Amar Rav explained the halacha of. Did I do the Rashi of the Gemara before? I don't know. Yeah, I think so. I think so, yes, I did. He explained the halacha of Blazim Yaakov. Why does Blazim Yaakov say the kid is a cholo? The cholo should come from a lav, not from an assay. Some of our blazer, he holds like a blazer. If you remember, we had, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, the blazer holds any relationship out of wedlock, any man who lives with any girl, that girl turns into a zayna. Even if it's from someone she's permissible to marry, that's where a blazer held. So if you learn that way, any time a woman had a relationship, she's a zayna. So it's a lav. Every time a kohen marries a ba'ula, kohen gadol, he's marrying a zayna. Because the girl had a relationship out of wedlock. And therefore, since she had a relationship out of wedlock, according to Blazer, panri habal kluya as a zayna. We had this machlokes a few days ago. We paskin that a zayna is only a relationship that you're not allowed to marry. If a girl lives with a guy, she lives with a chayvikrisis, she lives with somebody that she's not allowed to marry. What if a girl has a relationship with a man that she's allowed to marry? That is not a zayna we paskin. Rabbi Blazer holds, panri habola pluya as a zayna. Any out-of-wedlock relationship makes the girl a zayna. So when a girl is a ba'ula, she's not only an assay, not only an assay that a kohen gadol can't marry her because the Torah said, v'isha b'psula yikach. He can't marry her because she's a zayna. She had a relationship with a man. And therefore she became a zayna. That's why he holds the kid is a chol. That's what Rav Huna explained. That the reason for Rav Lezim and Yaakov, who says that the child is a chol, is because it's not only an assay. In every time the kohen gadol marries a ba'ula from somebody else, he's marrying a zayna.
Not even Shulakadarka?
That was a machlokes tanoia, whether a kohen gadol can marry a ba'ula shulakadarka or not. We're not getting involved in that now. Well, if you hold kohen gadol, would it be even shulakadarka? B'chayra, yeah.
Even on anusa?
So that goes back to that child. If an anusa becomes a zayna, we had two lashinas in the Gemara a few blood ago. Rashi, tamal kohen gadol zedam repana abba apluya shulei l'shem yishus as the zayna. It's interesting, I'm just curious, and I'm just thinking out loud. That same Brisa had that if you marry Anusis Atzmai, Mefutis Atzmai, he can stay married to her. We had two pshatim in that, right? Now, does she become a Zayna? The Kohen Gadol was Ma'anas a girl, and he was Mefata a girl, L'chayre he made her a Zayna. So then he shouldn't be able to stay married to her, according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. If you hold like Reb Elazar, that any out of wedlock relationship is a Zayna, then if a Kohen Gadol is Ma'anas a girl or Mefata a girl, she's a Zayna. There's no way to say that if you marry her, you can stay married to her. Which the Braisa, remember we had a machlokes yesterday, Ravuna and Ravashi, how to understand that. Ravuna said you have to get rid of her. And Ravashi said, no, you don't.
Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that even in the Sassatmo, it's loaded with the Bazakol, according to that Braisa.
No, it's not true.
What?
No, it's not true. Right, but if you learn that this is shot in Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, then it would go on Anusis Atzmai also. That's what I'm pointing out. Because if the reason is she's a Zayna, so what difference does it make who she had this relationship with? Even if the Kohen Gadol had it with her, he made her a Zayna. That's what I'm trying to say, according to this chat. That's what you have to say. I'm just pointing it out. Because if the reason is that a girl, that the reason the kid is a cholo is because it's not just that I say it's a love, what difference does it make if the relationship was with the Kohen himself, Kohen Gadol himself, or with somebody else? She became a Zayna. What?
Like
again,
yeah.
I'm just pointing this out. Zog to Gemara Vayter. Umisava la kavase? Can you say to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov holds like Reb Elazar? We have a rule that says that Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says very little, but whatever he says is pure. We always paskin like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. He's a Tana, doesn't say much, but when he says, he's right. That means we paskin like him. We don't paskin like Reb Elazar. That a Pani Abal up 3 years of Zayna. So we can't say that the pshat is because it's a chayvei lavin. It's not true. We don't paskin that way. And we paskin like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. That can't be pshat Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. You can't paskin like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov and not paskin like Reb Elazar if the reason of Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is Reb Elazar. Now, I mentioned this last time we had this Gemara, that they say Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is mentioned 102 times in Shas. Gematria Kav. Kav Venaki. Parshat Pshat Kav Venaki means he says very little, but whatever he says is pure. But it's also Kav, that it's 102 times in Shas. Venaki, we always pass from like. Something Gemara, you're right. Dr. Rashi, let's catch up with Rashi. No Rashi. Ramram Lekama Beperkim. Ever the Gemara, Kasha. You're right. We have no answer. If this is the Pshat, if this is what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, we're stuck. Because we can't paskin both ways. Ravashi Amar, B'yesh Cholo Mechai V'yaseikim Miflagi. Ravashi says, and I just want to point out something that to me was interesting, but that's because of my lack of knowledge that it's interesting to me. I never did a study on this. The second time in this Amud that Rav Huna says Wamshat, and Rav Ashi argues on him. They were not contemporaries by any stretch of the imagination. Rav Huna was Rav's Talmud, was in the earlier generations of Amaroim. Rav Ashi was at the end of Amaroim. And you have Rav Ashi arguing on Rav Huna twice in Shat in the Braisa. First, in the first half of the Braisa, now in the second half of the Braisa. It's a very interesting point. The hundreds of years went by between Rav Huna and Rav Ashi. And they learned Rav Huna's Shat and they were stuck. And then Rav Ashi came along and said a second Shat. It's just, usually, when you have machloikas, it would be Rav Huna says one shot, and Rav Yehuda, his contemporary, says a different shot. Or one generation later. Here we're talking about Rav Huna's Talmud, right? Rav Huna's contemporary was Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda's Talmud was Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef's Talmud was Rava, Yom Shemesh Rava, Nailed Rav Ashi. He was born when Rava died. It was a Talmud of Rav Yosef, it was a Talmud of Rav Yehuda. Like, way... Many, many generations separated them. And this is the second time in the Amud that we have Rav Huna saying over something in the name of Rav. And hundreds of years later, or at least 100 years later, maybe even more, 200 years later, Rav Ashi says a different shot. Just interesting. Dr. Gemara Rabashi Amar, B'yesh cholo mechayvi asei kamiflagi. They're arguing, is there a cholo from an asei? The violation of an asei, does that change the child into a cholo? Right? When a kayin lives with a chayvi lavin, the Torah says, well, yechalel, he makes his wife a chalola, and he makes his child chalolim, his children chalolim. How about if he violated an asei? Lezim Yaakov Savri, yesh cholo mechayvi asei? Rabbanan Savri, ein cholo mechayvi asei. Rabbanan say, there is no cholo mechayvi asei. So there's a basic machloikas here. Is a child produced from an iser asei a cholo or not a cholo? Rashi. Yes, cholo mechayvi asei. Blessed be Yaakov, loikra blessed surely. Belav zaynehi, she's not a zayne. Belay kaimalei belav. Belav asei. The sim sula yikach belay beula. Belav abam mechal asei. Asei. And the question is the child a cholo? Now, let's stop and analyze this. So what would be, according to this shot, if it was his own anusa? He's not allowed to marry her, but if he marries her, the Braisa said at the beginning he can keep her. And Rav Ashi learned, shot in that Braisa was, he can actually keep her. He can stay married to her. Because anyway, she's going to become his ba'ula. So he violated an asei. Is the child a cholo? I would think not, because Rav Ashi is saying that since it's ba'ulas atzmai, it's not a continuous asei. Because since this woman would become his ba'ula anyway, the Torah only asks of the original marrying her, but not staying with her. And since it's not asked to stay with her, it's no longer an asei, so the children produced would not be chalolim. We're going to Rav Ashi's explanation. Rav Ashi explained the beginning of the Braisa, that you're not allowed to marry anusis atzmai, and if you do, you can stay married to her. Because as we explained yesterday, because since she's going to become your ba'ula anyway, Mr. Kayan Gadol, so we don't make you get rid of her. It's not a continuous iser. So, b'chayra, it would not be a cholo because he's not doing an iser asei unless she became pregnant from the first bia when he married her. What?
When he was
ma'anasar. When he was, no, not when he was ma'anasar. When he married her.
First time.
B'chayra, he was doing an iser. But, you know, again, I don't know what would happen when he lived with her the first time. Would that be an iser or not an iser? I don't know. He's not allowed to be kaddish her. He did an iser by marrying her. But I don't know if the relationship is an iser, because once she's going to become a bula tachtav anyway, there's no iser. Which, again, I said yesterday, the Achronim's, I struggled to understand the Achronim's explanation of this, because the Torah said he's supposed to marry Psula, and he didn't. So what if Psula is going to be a bula tachtav? But again, that's what Rav Ashi said. And working with Rav Ashi, the Chayre, Rav Lezer Miyaka, would not say cholo in that case. Dr. Gemar Vaita, my time at Rav Lezer Miyaka. What does this machlekes depend on? Where do you see yes cholo mechayvi asei, no cholo mechayvi asei? Where does this come from? That the Gemara d'chsev amone grusha v'chalolo zaynas elu lo yikach, ki besula be'am av yikach isha. Pasuk says that Kayin Gadol should not marry a mona, a grusha, a chalolo, or a zayna, four ladies. He shouldn't marry them. Who should he marry? Ki besula be'am av yikach isha. Then the Pasuk says, v'lo yichal zaroi be'am av. He shouldn't make his kids chalolim. Now, what is that pasuk l'yichal going back on? The pasuk before told us five things. Four lavin and one asei. Don't marry Mr. Kayin Gadol. Don't marry Amana, Grusha, Chalola, or Zaina. Those are lavin. Marry a psula, which inference is, do not marry a ba'ula. That's an asei. The very next pasuk says, v'lo yichal zarei b'yamav. Don't make your kids a chalala. Going back at all five. There were five things mentioned in the pasuk before. Four lavin and one asei. And the next pasuk says, don't make your kids chalala. So isn't that saying that every one of those five children produced from such a marriage are chalala?
Five.
Amana, Grusha, Chalala, Zaina. That's four. And then it says, ki im besula me'amav, which infers not ba'ula. That's number five. That's not a lav. It's an asei. It's an iser asei, meaning we derive it from the fact that the Torah said marry a basula, not a ba'ula. And then right after that pasuk, which has five women that he shouldn't marry, it says v'lo yichal, which seems to tell us that chalala is from any of those five. Isn't that the way you would read the pasuk? That's how Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov reads the pasuk.
The actual marriage to them is a lam.
Correct.
Now, if they produce a kid, is that a lam?
Well, it, the kid is a chalal kolal.
Zaro, is that
another love? Oh, beautiful question. Tyson, this question you're asking now, Gavaldik, but we'll get to that in a minute. You're being mechavim to Tyson. Beautiful. But we'll get to that in a minute. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Akulu. The Chal Zara Ba'amav is going Akulu, and all for all of them. Rabbonon Eila Hivsikinyan. It says, Es Eila Lo Yikach. Why did the Torah say, if Eila lo yikach? Amana grusha zayna, chalala zayna lo yikach. What's that? Eila lo yikach. To tell me that the fifth one is not the same as the four. The lav of lo yichal is only going back on the four, not on the fifth. Not on basula. By writing the word Eila, these are the ones that have a bigger problem than the one afterwards. Why do you have to say the word Eila? Amana grusha chalala zayna lo yikach. Kim Basula Miyama. What's that? Eila la yikach. Eila is to tell me Cholol is only from the four Lavan, not from the Aseh.
I wouldn't say that. I would say the difference is because those four, since they're Lavan, you'll get Malkus. And the fifth one, which is the Aseh.
Why do I need the word Eila? I know that from the word la yikach. La yikach is a Lavan, and Kim Basula is an Aseh. What is the Torah adding with the word as Eila?
Yeah,
what is Eila teaching me?
There's another Isser, but it says it's ramification.
Well, I would know that without the word Eila. I know the difference in a lav and an assay.
This Oban and Grusha, they were also Be'ur.
Correct.
Is there going to be problems?
And there's a lot of an NSA.
Oh, so
yeah, by the way, it doesn't have to be that way, because if it's been an Arison, you can have an Oban and a Grusha that are Be'ur.
I know that, but logically, it's going to be like that.
Okay.
So they'll be getting...
I mean, there's no logic in either way.
They'll be getting a lav, lockets for that. They're going to be getting a lav and an SEO.
Correct.
Yeah.
And which is the Be'ur that's not one of those four again?
Kim Besula Me'am of Yigadisha.
What is
that? It's Rafay.
Do you marry a virgin?
I'm
asking you, what's the case of a Be'ur that's not one of these?
An Anusa, a Mefuta. A girl that had a relationship out of wedlock.
We're not calling her Zona, as pointed out.
We're not going like a Melazar. Frenchy Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, what does he do with the word Eila? Amar Eila lemute Nida. Eila is to say that if a person has a relationship with his wife, Anita, the kid is not a Cholol. You would think a Kavachimer. If a lav makes a cholol, for sure Krisis makes a cholol. And remember, Nida doesn't make mamzer. That was an exception to the rule.
Right.
So we would think it makes a cholol. So Eila comes to say, no, Nida does not make cholol. A child of a Nida is not a mamzer, that we had back in the fourth parak, and it's not a cholol because it says Eila.
How did
Rabbanah
learn it?
Right. Come on, how did Rabbanah learn it? I don't know. I thought I knew, and I don't know. Dr. Gemara, come on, I thought the tiny male, I thought it's a Kobe, I thought it's a Kobe, Manito. Come on, Kribble, Ezra, Yaakov. Frek, the Gemara, Ezra, Yaakov, Nikhtav, Ela, Lebesayf. According to him, Ela should be written at the end, because it's not separating the four from the one. According to the Rabbanan, Ela is in between to separate four from one. But according to Ezra, Yaakov, all five make a Kobe. So why is Ela in the middle? Kasha, that we don't have an answer for. Rashi? Are different from Chayv Asay. The Mutinida, Shembok Kayan, Alishta Nida, Ein Havlad Chol, right? usually it would say it would be a mamzer, but we learned in the fourth parak that it's not a mamzer. So I was saying maybe it's a chol. Kamash mon, it's nothing. Correcting the gemara lichtav and lebesayif. However, love of a ginoas, it's not separating the four from the one. Kasha, Ravashi, the book of Blutai, but time and tani krah, it's a kasha. Okay. Frek taisvas Avram Cohen's question. If there is a chol mechayv yasei, so really it's not a chayv yasei, it's a chayv lavan, because the Torah said lo yichalal. There's a lav on a person. Don't make your kids chalalim. So when a person lives with a ba'ula and he gets her pregnant, he was either a lav of making his kids chalalim.
First,
but no. Bula is not alive, did I say? So, for instance, it's really not Chol Mechai V'Yasei, because it turns into a Chai V'Lavin of Lo Yechalim. If you learn Yesh Chol Mechai V'Yasei, that means there's a lav. Don't make your kids into Chalolim. He violated that lav by impregnating her. So it's not Chol from Chai V'Yasei. It's a Chol because he violated a lav of Lo Yechalim.
Happens right where? Happens when he's born.
Well, he's making halalim. He makes her a halalim. That's also, if you learn the kids are halalim, he's making his wife a halalim. That's also a love. Tysus doesn't give an answer. Tysus by Tsarchian, but I have Ram's own question. Oh, Ram's going with Machavim to Tysus, and Tysus doesn't have an answer.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi? Could you expound on Rabbi Cohen's question a little bit? I'm not able to quite comprehend it. Any love has elements of an essay in it. If you say, don't violate Shabbos, you're also implying, don't light a fire, don't do this, don't do that. How is creating a child in this instance with Lo Yechalal, how is that different?
Again, usually violating Shabbos is a lav. The Torah says don't violate Shabbos. Anybody that violates Shabbos in any of the ways is transgressing a negative commandment of the Torah that says, Torah says, don't do it. Here the Torah never said do not marry a non-virgin. The Torah said marry a virgin. So it's a positive commandment that infers do not marry a non-virgin. But it is not a negative commandment in the Torah, it's a positive. But the Gemara says, the blessing of Yaakov holds that the offspring of that relationship, even though there was no violation of a negative commandment in the marriage, this was a girl that had a relationship out of wedlock, was never married, there's no love, it's just that the Torah said marry a virgin, this is a negative derived from a positive, which is called an iser asei, the child is a chol anyway. That's what Rav Elazar ben Yaakov said. And Rabbanan said, no, since this was only a violation of an asei, the offspring are not chalolim. That's the machloikus in our Gemara. Rabbi Cohen is asking, since the Torah made a lav on a person not to create chalolim, he's not supposed to make children chalolim, and that's a negative commandment. Lo yichalel, do not bring chalolim into this world. So when the Kohen Gadol is living with this ba'ula, if the kids are going to be chalolim, then he's violating a negative commandment. So it's not just a positive. By telling us that the children are chalolim, it is putting a negative commandment on this person. Don't have children that are chalolim. And therefore, he's not just violating a positive, he's violating a negative. The Gemara says he's only violating a positive. The Tysus is asking, once you tell me that the offspring are chalolim, he automatically is violating a negative. So it's not just a positive. That was Avram's question.
It's a great question. Yes, it's a great question.
Harvey said it was a great question.
Harvey said the bill.
Yes.
If you had person had relations with her, that over the essay, the kid never made it.
But the wife is also halala. He also violated the law of trade. It's no different, kids or wife.
The wife becomes also?
Yes.
But that's not what
Yechal
is going to do.
That's not true. It's going to both. Shnei Chalulim. The Gemara learns from Yechal, both wife and kids. I'm not getting involved in that now, but that's how the Gemara learns it. Okay. Zok the Gemara, write a new piece of Gemara. Turn around about it. Okay. There's a halacha that says that a regular Kayan, not a Kayan Gadol, can be metamic to seven relatives. Parents, Rachman al-Litzan loses parents, children, siblings, and spouse. Now, there's a machlokes in Masechet Sota, whether that's a command that he has to be metame, or it's an allowance that he could be metame. Not in a geyar sugya, just mentioning that as an aside. In Masechet Sota, there's a machlokes, where the Gemara says, and the Pasuk says, lo yitame, should be metame, is that a command? That a kohen is obligated to be metame to his seven relatives? Or is it an allowance? Makes no difference for our sugya. Now, there are many cases, the ones we're zeroing in is a sister. The Torah says he's allowed to be metamic to his sister, but the Torah limits what kind of sister he could be metamic to and when not. It's the only one of the seven relatives, well, I shouldn't say that, that has limitations. Parents, Kohen can be metamic to, no questions asked. Children, Rachman al-Litzan, he can be metamic to, no questions asked. Brother, he can be metamic to, no questions asked. Kosher wife, she's not puzzled to him, he can be metamic to. Sister becomes questionable. If she's married, if she had kedushin, if she's not a psula, if she's a begeres, if she's a mukaseit, what allowance is there for the kohen to be metamic to the sister? Now that means, unlike the other relatives, sister is limited, because the pasuk says as follows. To his sister who is a psula, who didn't marry a man, lo yitama. So the Torah put guidelines here. If she's married to somebody, he can't be matama to his sister. A kayan cannot go to a funeral of his sister who's married. Because she's married, he cannot be metameter. He can only be metameter, and again, we're going to go through this pasuk, which we're going to make multiple drashas from this pasuk. La'choisi ha'psula, asher lo'yhoisa la'ish. Superfluous, if she's a psula, obviously she didn't marry a man, right? Lo yidama. Again, la'choisi ha'psula ha'kroiva elof, it says. That is close to him. What does that mean? Why does the Torah have to say La Chayse Habsula Hakroiva Elof? Who's close to him? Well, a sister is your relative. What does it have to say Hakroiva Elof? Asher La Chayse Laish La Yitama. A lot of extra words in this pasuk. So we're going to have machloikasin in how to darshan this pasuk and who a kain is allowed to be metamit to and who a kain is not. This is not a kain gadol. A kain gadol cannot be metamit to his seven relatives. He can't be metamit to his parents, children, spouse. Siblings, he can only be metamet to a mace mitzvah. The only person that a kohen gadol can be metamet to. He's not allowed to be metamet to his relatives. So we're not talking about a kohen gadol, we're talking about a regular kohen. He's not a kohen. No, a kohen chol is not a kohen. He's not a kohen. There's also thing is kohen chol. He's a chol, he's not a kohen. A kohen marries a grusha, the child is a chol, he's not a kohen. He doesn't get rishon, he can't eat kuma, he can marry, he's not restricted, he's not a kohen. He can be metame. Zok tikamar. Tana rabbana. Achoyse arusa. What if she's arusa? She's a psula, but she had erusin. She's not married, nesua, but she had erusin. Remei Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a metamela. Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda says, the kohen can be metamet to his sister who's an arusa. Rabbi Shimon, I remain metamela. And Rabbi Shimon say, he cannot. What is the basis of this machlokes? To be explained in the Gemara. Weiter. Anusa mefuta. One of his sister is not a psula. She never married, but she doesn't have psulim anymore. Either somebody forced himself on her or seduced her. Either way, she lost her psulim. The kohen cannot be metamei to his sister who doesn't have psulim. Mukas eitz, one of the girls are mukas eitz. she doesn't have besulim because she had a wound that broke her besulim. She cannot be metameter. That's what Reb Shimon says. Notice, Reb Shimon is by himself. Reb Yaisi dropped him. Reb Yaisi and Reb Shimon agreed that he may not be metameter arusa. When it came to Mukas Eitz, Reb Shimon is all by himself. Reb Yaisi doesn't agree with him. The Gemara is going to point that out. So how Reb Shimon I'm a royal kain gadol metamala. A girl who can marry a kain gadol, his sister who can marry a kain gadol can be metama. She ain't royal kain gadol metamala, and a kain gadol can't marry a Mukas Eitz. Since a kain gadol can't marry a Mukas Eitz, he cannot be metama to her. It has to be a sister that would be fit to marry a kain gadol. By geres metamala divrei kaladim. A Bagaris, which we had a machloikis of a kain gadol can marry a Bagaris. But everybody agrees that a kain can be metame to his 12-and-a-half-year-old sister, even though she's not fit to marry a kain gadol. That's the braisa. So the braisa dealt with arusa and had a machloikis. It dealt with an anusa mefuta, and it said no. It dealt with a mukas eitz, and there was a machloikis. And it dealt with a Bagaris, where everybody says yes. Four cases, two machlokesim, two everybody agrees. Anusa mefuta, everybody agrees. No. Begeres, everybody agrees. Yes. Machlokes by Mukaseit, and machlokes by Arusa. That's what we see from this verse. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Achoyse Arusa shokayin hedget. Avu nesua, if she's a nesua, pshita lon de emetamei. We know for sure that he can't be metameter. The siv, but achoyse habsula, anusa mefuta, achoyse shenensa shenispatata. His sister, that either was an anusa, somebody forced himself on her, or she was seduced. Divri akoye metamala, the time of the kulam of fire shall come on. The Gemara will explain all these things. Shimon l'tamei, mukas eitzei metamala divri of Shimon. Right? This is Rashi's opinion. We mentioned that already. The Rashi learns that Yisus Mukas Eitz is not universally accepted. It was Reb Shimon's opinion that he can't marry Mukas Eitz. I'm a labachal psuli, so she's not a psula. Shaina ruil the kain gadol metamala the hakav hakav psula ksev. And a kain gadol has to marry a psula, and a kain can only metame to his sister psula. So whatever psula means in one place, it means in the other place. Divrei kol adam, that was by Begeris. Afilu Rameir, the pasul Begeris the kain gadol. Even though Rameir in our Mishnah said a kain gadol cannot marry a Begeris, hakalin in tumah is rabbi. But when it comes to tumah, he can be metamet to Begeris, can come on like the Gemara will learn. Now this is all going to be dependent on how we darshan the psukim. That's what we're going to do now. We're going to go through the psukim according to each man the amar. Dr. Gemara. My time of Rameh and Reb Yehuda. What is the reason of Rameh and Reb Yehuda that allow a Kayan to be Metameh to the sister of the Arusa? The Dor Shihachi. This is the way they read the Pasuk. V'lachoysei hapsula. The word besula says prat la'anusa mefuta. It excludes anusa mefuta. She's not a besula. Not a besula. Fact. It's sad, but she's not a psula. The Torah said, "Lachayis psula." She's not. Rashi, Prat, Lanusa mefuta shein a psula. Yakoshani mitzav mukas eitz. So mukas eitz is also not a psula. She lost her psulim to a wound. So maybe she's also excluded from the word psula. Tamad loy mashal lachayis leish. The Torah, she's not a psula because of a man, not because of a other reason. She's not a psula because a man was involved. It's only a girl that lost her psulim through man. Mukaseitz lost her psulim and not through a man. And the Torah says, means the reason Anusa and Mefuta are excluded is because they were Haisel Ish. A man was involved. And we're saying, he can only be metamet to a psula that wasn't involved with a man. And Mukas Eitz was never involved with a man. So even though she doesn't fit the terminology psula, but she doesn't have psulim, but it wasn't through a man, and the Torah defined what we mean when we say Basula. Asher Lahitzalish. According to a mayor, it's a machlokes. Remember, we said two cases are machlokes. This is one of the machlokes. Akroiva. Why does it say Akroiva Elov? We know his sister is close to him. What does it mean? Akroiva Absula Akroiva Elov. The rabbis Arusa. It's to tell me that Arusa, even though she already has a connection to a man, but she's still Absula. But you would say she's already married. Dr. Tera Kroiva, that she is considered Kroiva. Kroiva is to tell me it could be Matamata Arusa.
What makes the Suin not Kroiva anymore?
It was Haitzelish.
So then you have Haitzelish and Kroiva.
No. What is Haitzelish? The Suin or Arison? What does Haitzelish mean?
It could be
Asher Haitzelish. She wasn't mad by a man. It definitely includes the Suin. It definitely includes Anusa Mefuta, because they were broken by man. How about Arison? If she's Haitzel Ish through Arison. So comes out Kroiva and says, no, that Arusa he could be Matabadu. This is Ramirez's opinion. Elov? What does the word Elov teach me? Elov, the rabbi Sabagaris. To say he could be Matabadu Begaris. So going through the Pasik. Bachaitza Absula, she has to be Absula, not a Be'ulam. Not Anusa Mefuta. How about Mugazates? Well, not a problem. Because the Torah defines that she lost her Besulim by man. Mugazates did not lose it by man. Hakroiva is to tell me, don't think Haitzel-ish also includes Arison. Hakroiva, as long as it was known as Suin, he can still be Matame to his sister. Elov, the extra word Elov is to tell me, he can even be Matame to the Begeres, even though she doesn't have Besulim. Right, we said Begaris loses Besulim, but she loses Besulim without even any action. He can be Matamah to her. So we have, according to a man or a Yehuda, we allow a kohen to be Matamah to an Arusa, we allow him to be Matamah to Mukasets, we allow him to be Matamah to Begaris, and we don't allow him to be Matamah to Anusa Mefuta.
This was one with the Arusa. Maybe Hakrova is telling me.
You could be Matamatan Arusa.
Maybe it's something you can't. Maybe it's something you can't. Maybe something you can't, meaning it has to be Krova, and that's someone who has Kedusha. That's what you were saying. Weren't you saying that?
I was saying the opposite. Oh, that's what Baruch Meisha was saying, right?
Was that what you were saying?
Kind of, but
I mean,
you explained it better.
No, wait, I don't know. Please,
before, there's still a couple of concerts. I don't know. The concert is going to be in New York and not in Lakewood, you know.
You understand?
What makes Krova?
It has to be completely Krova and not someone else's attachment.
You still make Sabia, that's why.
The answer is as follows. What would be the Tzvara Katayna, very nice. I was looking for the English word for Tzvara Katayna. The, what is the English word? The initial thought from the words Asher Loi Haisa Leish. What does Haisa mean? Translate the word Haisa. Whatever Haisa means, Krayv is coming to change it. So that means the Torah is saying she didn't have Kedushin, and if she did have Kedushin, he can't be Matame. So why did the Torah have to write Krayv? If Krayv is to exclude Erusa, that means you approached it that an Arusa was mutter. How did you translate the word Asher Lehaitzelish? Because that's the key here. You're assuming that without the word Kroiva, Arusa would have been allowed. So Kroiva is coming to tell me, no, Arusa. But I'm telling you, without the word Kroiva, Arusa wouldn't have been allowed because Asher Lehaitzelish. Haitzel can mean Kedusha. So therefore, Kroiva comes to say the opposite of what you would have thought. Right, the Torah doesn't write a pasuk.
Krova is telling you it's still considered Krova.
Even though she had Kedushin. So it's redefining Haisa from Kedushin to Nisua.
I mean, but the bottom line is that even if she had Nisua'in, can't marry her. Let's say she had a suin with a guy, but she's still a psula.
That doesn't make a difference. I think once it's a suin, it's a suin.
You can't call her
Kroiva.
You can't call her sis anymore.
You can call her whatever you want. Depends what mood you're in. What do you mean, call her? Call her whatever you want. Call your sister by any name you want.
How do you address the invitation? What last name are you going to put on the invitation?
Okay. The hospital is in New York here, man. It's right there. The ghost part of the IT job is to address all the invitations. Part of the IT job, he has to address all the invitations.
Same,
right, the same salary. Right there.
Then we're back to your kids.
Son Krashi, Yachoshani Maitzav Mukasei Chain of Basula, the rabbi says Terusa. And Rashi explains what I told you. It's the Lurbuya. I have to include Arusa. I would have excluded Arusa from the word Haisa. So he explained Rameyer and reviewed him. Frek the Gemara. But Frek the Gemara, Halamali Kra, why do I need a pasik to include Begeret? Amar Rameyer, Psula Phila Mixes Besula Mashma. We had a Makloikis at the beginning of the week. Rameyer learned by a Kayan Gadol, says, Vuhu Isha Bifsula Hayikach. Besula would mean even a Begeret. Besuleha excluded a Begeret. But according to a mayor, the word besula meant even a begaris. Over here, it doesn't say besuleha; it says v'achayse habsula. The word besula, according to a mayor, meant even begaris, right? A kohen gadol can't marry a begaris because it said besuleha. So the extra yud excluded begaris. Besula meant even begaris. Besuleha excluded begaris. That's what we said back on Untesim and Aleph. So why do I need to include a Begeris here? She's automatically included because it says the word Besula, and Besula includes Begeris. Lamar Ameir and Besula Vila mixes Besula Mashma. Zakti Gemara Itzra. Salkadai Tachamina Nelu Besula Besula Mahasam. Malhalanara Avkanara Kamash Malon. There's a pasuk that talks about a person that's ma'anas a girl. And it says Nara Besula. She's a 12-year-old, that's a psula. So, I would think that we make Xerah Shava. The word psula there meant Nara. So, over here, Achayse Hapsula, we would derive it from Xerah Shava, also means Nara. Therefore, the pasuk has to tell me, Elov, to tell me no, that he can be Matame to a Begeres, Rashi. Zok to Rashi, Alam Ali Kra, Amar Amer, Besula, Mitzvah, Besula, Mashma. But Il Amar Hachi, he said this earlier. But the Israel Lamifta Bisulah Rabbi Kayan Gadl, well, he just said Begaris, the mayor, right? It had to say Bisulah, the cloud of Bisulah Begaris, Nami Mashma. Means Bisulah would have included Begaris. Mehasam, Kiyamatse Ish Nara Bisulah. Okay, so we explained Rameyer's opinion. Now we move on. Rabbi Yaitzi Rabbi Shimon Maitamayu. What is the reason of Rabbi Yaitzi Rabbi Shimon? Darshi Hachi. Belachoyse Habsulah. They start off the pasuk the same way Rameyer did. Achayse Apsula is to exclude Anusa Mavuta. And they also exclude Mukaseit. They also exclude Mukaseit. She's not Apsula. They don't learn like Rameyer that Asher Lohoyse Leish defines Apsula. They say Apsula. She doesn't have the Sulam. She doesn't have the Sulam because she's a Ba'ula or because she's a Mukaseit. The bottom line is she doesn't have Apsula. Asher loy haitza, prat la rusa. They learn Asher loy haitza, simple. She didn't have kedushin. And if she has kedushin, you can't be matame. So they're arguing on two points. A, mukas eight is excluded. Right? And B, arusa is excluded. They interpret Asher loy haitza, kedushin. And they interpret besula, not mukas eight. Hakroiva. So what do they do with the word Akraiva? Rameyer included Akraiva the Rabbis is Arusa. The Rabbis Arusa should is Garsha. She was an Arusa, got divorced. She's now a Grusha. But she's still a Psula. She was an Arusa, and during the time of Erison, he wouldn't have been able to be time with her. According to Rabbi Yitzchak Shimon, it says Ashalai Haisa. She didn't have Kedushin. Comes along Akraiva and says that if the guy divorced her, or died, makes no difference. He can now be metameter. She is achayt to have sula, and she is kroiva because he's no longer married to her. She's still psula, and she's kroiva to include that even though at one point he wasn't allowed to be metameter to her, but now he's allowed to be metameter to her again because now she's divorced.
Divorced his wife.
No, he's not married to her anymore. A guy has a sister who is married. A kohen has a sister who had kiddushin.
Oh, right. Meaning the sister, she comes back to the fold.
Exactly. She comes back to the fold. I like the way you use that, yes.
But she's not royal kohen kohen.
Correct, but that's not kroiva. That's why we need a reboy of kohen kroiva.
That's not like Rav
Shimon. But this is Rav Shimon talking. And the Gemara is going to answer your question in a minute. Eilav, the rabbis is habegeres. Dr. Gemara, Akreivel, the rabbis are rooster shin and garshim. V'amar Rav Shimon, didn't Rav Shimon say, Ruyel and Kain Gladl metamelo, Shein Ruyel and Kain Gladl metamelo? Right? You're a question. How could he say that? Dr. Gemara, Shaini Hassim, the Rabbi Rachman, the Kreiva. The Torah said Kreiva. What am I supposed to do? Fracti Gemara, Yonke Mukaseitz Nami, Rabbi Kreiva. Why don't we say Mukaseitz? I mean, once you're making exceptions to the rule, maybe Mukaseitz is also an exception. So the Gemara Achas v'Leishtayim. The Torah made one exception. So I have a choice. Which one do I want to make the exception? Mukaseitz? Or Arusa Shinis Garsha? I know that the Torah is making one exception. Both of them are not allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. A Mukaseitz can't marry a Kohen Gadol, and an Arusa Shinis Garsha can't marry a Kohen Gadol. But the Torah wrote HaKroiva. The Torah said one exception. Practic Gemara Marois. Who decided which one is going to be the exception? So the Gemara, ha yisavet b'maisa, ha lo yisavet b'maisa. A mukaseitz, something happened physically to her. And Arusa Shinis Garsha had no physical change. She's the same basula she always was. And therefore, no action was done to her. So therefore, we include her over mukaseitz. Even though this lady was Kedush, and during the time of Kedush, he couldn't be Matamah to her, Kwaj of Shimon. But now that she got his Garsha, the Torah made an exception to rule. Why is she the exception more than a Mukaseitz? Because a Mukaseitz lost to Psulim. This lady, nothing happened to her. No action was done. That differentiates it from a Begeris, where also no action was done. Rashi, with the Shav, that's right, there is no Rashi in this Gemara, it's very interesting.
Good.
Yes, everybody agrees that Begeris, it comes from the word Elov. The rabbis is a Begeris. Correct. So the way Rav Shimon darshens the pasuk is Al-Khayse Absula. That excludes Anusa, Mefuta, and Mukaseitz. Asher Loihoisa excludes Arusa. Hakroiva is coming to make an exception. The exception we make is Arusha Shinis Garsha. Eilav, the rabbis is up again. That is the way Rav Shimon darshens the psuka. So we have two diverse way to learn the pasuk, walking away with two separate machlokes. Rav Meir allows the kain to be matamah to the Arusha, and Rav Yaisi and Rav Shimon does not. Rav Meir allows a kohen to be metameh to mukaseitz, and Rav Shimon does not. We have two separate machlokes.
And this is Garsha and it's
not
whatever,
it's Mina Nesuin? No. Only Mina Erisim, she's still a psula. A Nesua is not considered a psula.
We know that she did both
now. So that gets involved in the sugging subas that we had. That once a woman is in a Nesua, she never gets a sub of 200, even if we know she's a psula. I don't know if we can ever assume.
But for these purposes,
so we'll stop up here. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbos. We'll continue Meretz Hashem on Monday morning, Sunday, and Meretz Hashem 6:30.